Did the Bible influence the Constitution, our governing document? We do know that the Constitution is predicated on the Declaration of Independence, which explains why we exist as a nation. Of course, it's the Declaration of Independence. We celebrate the 250th anniversary this particular year. Now, the Declaration of Independence mentions God four times. The governing document of the U.S. is predicated, as I say, on the Declaration of Independence and is not necessarily as explicit about God as the other document. Of course, it explains just this is how the government is to work. One of our leading political cartoonists today and commentators is Gary Varvel. He was the Indianapolis Star cartoonist for 24 years. His work is still syndicated through Creators Syndicate, and he publishes an excellent online commentary on many relevant topics for today. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we get to talk again with Gary Varvel. Gary, great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
Jerry.
Jerry.
You know, I have a brother named John, and I'll bet you that's where confusion comes.
I know, John. I don't know why I was. That's a brain lock on my part.
Oh,
I'm so
no.
Sorry.
No problem. So, listen, Oz Guinness, the excellent commentator, earned his doctorate at Oxford, and so very well learned. But he once said this in a very short sentence. He said, "The biblical concept of covenant gave rise to the American Constitution." That is an extremely profound statement, and it's totally true. And it began, you know, with the Mayflower Compact 150 years earlier and so forth. The biblical concept of covenant is basically what you have in the Constitution. But some people want to say, no, the Constitution doesn't mention God, although it is signed in the year of our Lord. I want you to comment on biblical principles that we find in the Constitution.
You know, years ago, I heard David Barton speak, and this was back in the 90s, and he mentioned the old Deluder Law. And I went home, and I have my U.S. history book from high school, and I looked it up, and sure enough, it was in it. And it talked about in Massachusetts in 1647 that they passed a law called the Old Deluder Satan Act. And in it, it said that if we have 50 families in one area, we have to have a teacher to teach the kids how to read, because the act said in times past, the old deluder Satan tried to keep people ignorant of the scriptures. So in actuality, the public school system began because they wanted the students, they wanted Americans to be able to read. Puritans said that
to read the Bible,
if people would read the Bible, then they would have a godly and law-abiding citizenry. And that started me down this rabbit hole in which I started looking up all kinds of information, and it's readily available. For instance, when we declared our independence, the colonies had to come up with their own constitution. So from 1776 to 84, they wrote their constitution, and in order to hold office in those colonies, you had to make a profession of faith. For instance, in Delaware, 1776, they had to profess the faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ, his only son. And they also had to required them to believe that the Old and New Testaments were given by divine inspiration. Now, almost all of the colonies were that way. 9 of the 13 were specifically, you had to be a Protestant. Maryland was more Catholic, but they all had a profession of faith in order to hold office. Now, they changed later on, but that was the beginning. So you can't say that they were all a bunch of deists or even atheists and wanted a secular country. I mean, one of the things I've also discovered, John, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
One of the other things I've discovered is that the Constitution doesn't mention God, but when you look at what it says in the Constitution, they come from biblical principles. I mean, the three branches of government come from Isaiah 33:22. God is our judge, God is our lawmaker, God is our king. So if God is those three things, those three branches, judicial branch, legislative, and also executive, then they wanted a government that had the same thing. Separation of powers was from Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitfully wicked beyond all things. Who can know it? Even to the fact that the president had to be native born. He had to be a natural born citizen. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, don't allow a foreigner to be king over you. So there are all these biblical principles. They didn't give you the chapter and verse, but it's right there. If you know the Bible, and these men did, they knew the Bible very well.
Yes, and in fact, going back to the point you made about the separation of powers, boy, if you read the Constitution, it is very clear they were very careful to separate powers. And of course, it's not just that one verse in Jeremiah 17:9, you know, for the heart is desperately wicked, who can understand it, and so forth. There's all kinds of verses all over the place in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. testifying to the sinfulness of man. Probably the best known one is, you know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's another constitutional right. principle. You said that there's a tax exemption for the churches. Now, I know sometimes the atheist groups are, you know, licking their chops to try and remove yeah. that, but comment on that, if you will.
Well, I discovered this from William Federer, and I know he's been on one of your guests many times, but he did a study and said, you know, the most common form of government is a king or some type of monarch and sometimes a tyrant. But he made that comment. But when Israel came out of Egypt in the Exodus, they didn't have a king for 400 years. And that's the way God wanted it. And they had actually, when they decided that they wanted to be like the other nations and have their own king, that was actually a rejection of God at that point. But the founders looked back through history and they said, you know, that's what we need, is we need a form of government where everybody governs themselves. And that's why it was so important that we have citizens who are religious and morality based on religion, because they needed to govern themselves. John Adams said that we don't have a government armed, capable of controlling human passions. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. So if that's the case, if you don't teach children, especially when they're young, biblical principles, then what happens is then you can't control them. They don't control themselves. If they don't believe that there is a supreme being who's going to judge them someday, then why not do anything you want? You become your own God. You decide what's right and wrong. But in Ezra, it talks about don't tax the priests. And because that was their main job, was to lead the nation in worship. And that's certainly what churches did. The founders saw the benefit of having churches. They would do a lot of things that the government doesn't need to get their hands into. And also it gave the people more of a cohesion if they're all involved in, you know, the needs of the society. So why tax them on stuff that they've already been taxed on? And we continue that even today. And I know that the secularists, they don't like that. But this is another, again, this shows the founders were biblically grounded and they understood this. You know, the other thing, Jerry, is that they, coming out of the Great Awakening, they all were inspired. They grew up learning the Bible in school, and then they heard these sermons, and it was just a great impact. The clergy had such a great impact on their lives. You know, one of the things I discovered when I was writing the series was Reverend John Wise, who in 1710 wrote some type of pamphlet talking, and it was basically people wanted to pull the churches all under one umbrella. He said, no, 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 we need to be autonomous. And he was talking about the freedom and liberty. And he talks about, he uses phrases like pursuit of happiness, which those things, that pamphlet ended up getting reprinted in 1772, I guess it is. Calvin Coolidge, the 150th celebration of the July 4th, our birthday, he quotes from John Wise and said this guy was actually, he given us the blueprint for the founders in their document, especially the Declaration of Independence. I just thought this was all fascinating how God has tied this all together. Certainly, George Washington made comments about a man would have to be worse than an infidel not to see the hand of providence in all of this. And he was talking specifically at the time. He wrote a letter to Thomas Nelson in 1778. And he was just, you know, there was no way that our Continental Army, which was just a bunch of farmers and shopkeepers, could have gone against the greatest military force in the world at that time and won. It was just a miracle.
Amen. A couple of comments here, too, as well. And that is, first of all, one, you were talking about the tax exemption and, you know, are churches helpful to society or not? There was a book produced by the late Dr. Rodney Stark, who was a professor at Baylor University. The book is called America's Blessings. It was published in 2012, and it was published by Templeton Press or something like that. Anyway, I took the time one summer to read through it very carefully and took notes and so forth. Basically, he says, by the end of that book, he adds up financial figures, and he says, if you look at the blessings that America is bestowed upon because of its churches and active churchgoers, and if we start to quantify this, this is literally, you know, billions and billions of dollars that we receive in benefits from churches just from the morality angle alone. In other words, keeping people from lives of crime and so forth. So you're so right. And the founders did expect that the way this is going to work, this experiment in self-liberty under God, is for the people to be moral. There's another constitutional principle, and that is, you write about this, Republican government based on Exodus 18:21, choose capable leaders who fear God and hate dishonest gain. Your comments on that?
This happened when they were in the wilderness after they left Egypt.
Okay, now you're talking about the Jewish people, the Israelites.
Yeah,
as opposed
I'm talking about
to
the Jewish people.
Right, okay.
And this is where the principle came from. So Moses' father-in-law comes to him and says, this is too much for you. You can't judge all of these people. And he says, why don't you come up with, you know, you pick these men who are God-fearing and don't want dishonest gain and put them over 1,000, 100, 50, and 10s. And that became the form of, you know, and he said, then if they have, you know, some case come before them that's too big, then we can come to you. But that became the representative form of government that the founders said, this is what we want. This makes sense to us. And then the people, you know, we don't have a democracy, Jerry. This is, you know, anytime I hear these people on TV talk about, you know, so-and-so is a threat to democracy, we don't have a democracy. A democracy would be everybody would vote on every bill and everything. And there's no way you could do that. A representative form of government is the only thing that makes sense. You elect people who will then go to Congress or go to the legislature and go to the local town board. And then they have spent the time to study all of this stuff, and they know what the direction
Hopefully.
That the electors want, and then they vote. And that's what and that comes right from the Exodus.
Yes, and the Federalist Papers, by the way, which were written by Hamilton, Madison, and John Jay, in that order. They were originally signed in the name Publius, but anyway, they are a tremendous, you know, explanation of the Constitution and constitutional principles, and they make that very point you just said. We're a republic, not a democracy. Gary Varvel,
right.
GaryVarvel.com, is that right?
GaryVarvel.com, GaryVarvel.substack.com to get my newsletter.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.